Welcome to the home of Blood, Sweat, and Words, a podcast that empowers writers. My name is Joanne Carson. I'm a fiction and nonfiction author, blogger, and podcaster, and I'm trying to make sense of the writing world today. My weekly show is current, relevant, and above all, honest. Join me, and we'll talk it to the bone. That's what Blood, Sweat, and Words is all about. On the home front, it's been a melodramatic week, and I don't know about you, but I could do with a little less drama. No, I'm not talking American politics. I'm talking about the world of writing and publishing. Amazon took away the also bots. You know, those covers at the very bottom of every sales page telling you what people who bought your book also bought. It's one of the ways little writers like me get noticed. Now all you see are paid advertisements. Writers are losing sales. Some wonder if Amazon has a reporting problem. Others figure it's the also bot crisis. Lots and lots of chatter. I think Neil Gaiman has the best solution. No matter what happens, and I quote, make good art. The big learning point for me is not a new one. I can't rely on any one platform for my promotion or sales. I'd love to hear what you think. So that's been the background noise in my life this week. Meanwhile, I'm having great fun creating video clips for my episodes and sharing them across social media. You can find them all on my YouTube channel under the name Joanne Carson. And my big, big news is that my book, Murder for Christmas, launches today on Amazon. You can find details and the buy link in the show notes. It's a champagne day for me. Now to today's episode. Welcome to episode 11 on Blood, Sweat, and Words. Today I'm chatting with mystery writer Janice McDonald about the line, genre fiction is the poor cousin at the table who actually pays for all the snooty poets to be at the party. Think about that one. I met her this fall at the Sisters in Crime Conference in Victoria, BC. She lectured on the mystery genre. She was amazing and funny, and let me tell you a bit about her. Janice McDonald is the author of the Randy Craig Mysteries, set in Edmonton, Alberta. Randy is an amateur detective and academic monkey, who finds herself in a variety of dilemmas as she tries to worm her way into one niche or another of university life. Janice used to lecture on English literature, communications, and creative writing. Her MA was on parody and detective fiction, one of the first studies of, get this, subliterary fiction allowed at the University of Alberta. Welcome, Janice.
Thank you.
So, I have so many questions for you. I love your line that you used it when you spoke in Victoria, that genre fiction is the poor cousin at the table. Can you explain what it means?
Well, actually, I probably shouldn't have said snooty poets, because I actually know quite a few nice poets.
Me too.
Yeah, but the truth of the matter is that poetry and high literature, high culture literature, we're talking things like Henry James and this sort of thing, all seem to get placed on a higher shelf than genre fiction. And by that I mean detective fiction, westerns, romance, science fiction, speculative fiction. And if you've ever worked in a bookstore, which was my very first job, or spent time in a bookstore, you'll notice that the bestsellers and the ones that go off the shelves continuously are the genre fiction. And if you talk to publishers, what you note is oftentimes they say, well, yes, of course, we love to publish the poetry books, but the only way we can afford to publish some of the things we love to publish is to publish some genre fiction as well. So, but I don't think we get enough credit for it. You know, we then get looked down upon as if, oh, well, I've had people say, so are you ever going to write a real book to me?
Oh, burn. Yes, I certainly notice that. I notice book clubs will always choose literary, or mostly choose literary over genre fiction. And I think they're missing out a lot.
I think so too. You can get into some really good, meaty discussions about any book. But my publishing company publishes all sorts of fun questions for book clubs about my books. Not that I ever, I've never actually been part of a book club and go to them very rarely, only for very good friends. But they all seem to have good discussions when they get involved in the weight of how one adds material to what is essentially a formulaic plot.
And you write mysteries. What do you think of the term literary mystery?
I think literary mystery was invented by somebody who was surprised they enjoyed a mystery novel as much as they did. But there are levels and there are subgenres in mystery novels. I mean, you get police procedurals, you get spy thrillers, you get the cozy, cutesy novel where you don't see that much blood, but you have an awful lot of puzzling. You have novels that then move into aspects of examinations of cultural problems and social consciousness. I'm thinking of things like the V.I. Warshawski novels that Sarah Paretsky created, the Elizabeth George novels, of course, P.D. James, and you start seeing novels where the formula is merely the basket that contains what the writer is trying to bring forward. And in a way, to me, that is so much more interesting to see what they can do within the constraints of a formula than if you were allowed all sorts of, no holds barred. It's sort of like reading a really, really good sonnet compared to blank verse or free verse, where you have this amazing message brought forth, even though they have to go through all of this rigorous rule, as opposed to just writing sentences without punctuation.
So what drew you, is that what drew you to the mystery genre? You like the parameters it sets?
Oh, what drew me? I did my master's thesis on detective fiction, and I think I was doing it maybe to cock a snook at high culture, but to examine the concept of what is it about literature that draws the people. These are books that are actually read, so what is it about them that makes them so readable and so compulsively readable? And that was part of what my thesis was about. How does it was also interesting to look at a genre that you could actually say this started in 1845. This started, the day Edgar Allan Poe published The Murders in the Rue Morgue and has gone to so far. What is it to examine a genre and see how it is created, how it expands, how it invents itself as it goes along? But about three quarters of the way through there, and I think it was probably in reaction to the fact that I was swanning around the grad lounge reading Agatha Christie while they were fighting their way through Chaucer. But somebody said, "So I suppose you're going to write a mystery novel now, are you?" And I said, "Yeah, I suppose I am. I've got all of the rules figured out. I know what the basket is, so now it's time to put it in action and see if I could do it."
Was it hard the first time?
It really was, mostly because I knew what the ending was for the first book. And I knew exactly where I wanted to go with it. It was my first book. I was scared of boring people, so I wrote very short, cryptic, and ended up not publishing it for a couple of years because I was also pregnant at the time. So, you know, that point where your brain turns to pablum and you don't get anything finished. But I realized that as I moved along and thought, yes, I could take this character and do more with her, that I also had capacity to go deeper into the world that she lived in, that it wasn't necessary to just deal with the plot. And so the next novels got longer and a bit more spacious, rather than just clipping along at, you know, the space, the pace of a racehorse.
That sounds like a really fun process. So each book got deeper into the character and the setting.
It did, and more into I would realize that I would want I'll back up there for a second. My character, in her deepest dreams, she would love to teach at the university. She has a master's degree and no real desire or commitment to do a PhD. So the best she's ever going to be is a sessional lecturer. And so she's sort of this gypsy character that so many of us have been at the university level. And in her desire to pull together enough wages per year to pay her rent and buy books, she takes on different jobs within the university or near the university, so that she at one point works for the Center of Ethnomusicology, and for another part she is helping to create a virtual museum online for some the well, a heritage house on campus that was owned by the first president of the university and various other heritage sites around. So it's more delving into local history. And then another one deals with festivals, and another one she works with the drama department and a grant to teach Shakespeare for teenagers in cohort with the Shakespeare Festival. So she does works in around the drama scene around the town, and so it expands into various elements. The one we're launching this coming week is set in the visual arts community in and around the university and Edmonton. And as part of the story, she's also on vacation in Mexico and the art scene there and how it reflects here.
So does your character also evolve from book to book, or is she pretty static like Captain Cook, Kirk?
Oh no, she ages.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I mean, I find it so interesting. A friend of mine, Shauna Singh Baldwin, actually told me once, and I'm sure she said it in interviews, that she wrote her book about the spy Madeline. I think it's called The Eye of the Tiger or The Claw of the Tiger. Because she just couldn't figure out why it was that in so many of these books about female spies and stuff, this nobody ever talked about what happened when your period came along and you were behind enemy lines. And so in that same vein, it's like, well, what happens as you age and you can't really run as fast as you can, even though you get yourself into danger, or you know, you're not quite as lithe as you were, or able to squeeze between those two barriers.
No.
So Randy does age as she goes along. The books themselves are stand alone. Although she amasses a group of friends, and you meet those people back and forth in various books, and she is dealing with, you know, the scope of being a single 40-something and then 50-year-old character through, you know, how do you deal with still renting at that age, and what are you going to do with your life?
So the setting is very Canadian. Has that been an issue at all for publishing?
You know, years and years and years ago, they used to say, oh, it should be some nondescript Midwest city, you know.
Always Midwest, yeah.
Yeah, but what I found while I was doing my thesis was that one of the things, I mean, you're reading the same plot. If you peeled everything else away, if you're reading a formula work, you are reading the same plot. You know, there is a crime. It's usually a murder. There is no clear distinction of who did it. There will be somebody that comes to the forefront to solve the crime because they have to for some reason. And there may be a villain trying to put blockades in their way, but eventually there will be a solution. So if that is all you're reading for, you've already read this book. And yet, everybody who reads mystery fiction is obsessively addicted to mystery fiction. People don't just pick up a mystery novel every now and then. You know, like, they are addicts. They'll read 3 to 4 a week. Mm-hmm. So what they're reading for, to be distinct, is they're reading for character, the interesting kinds of people you put into the world you have created, and they're reading for that world. So they read Tony Hillerman novels for the wonderful world of the Navajo people that he creates. They are reading Elizabeth George for the amazing insights into the London police force that she creates. They're reading Inspector Chopra for Bombay. They're reading Janice McDonald for Edmonton, which, believe it or not, and most of the people in town just can't believe it, is very exotic to other people, you know.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
So do you have advice for other authors?
Well, I usually say marry well, but but I think probably the best advice I was ever given and ever could give is don't talk about the work that you're working on to everybody. Don't show it to people. Don't talk about it. Actually, just sit down and write it. Because that very first white hot time where the plot's coming to you and the story's coming to you and the zingers of dialogue are happening will all get put down on that page rather than told to your friend over beers. Because the second time you go around to it, it's always going to feel slightly already done. Mm-hmm. And you'll second guess yourself and think, well, you know, is that as zingy as I thought it was? And it sure was the first time you said it. So the first time should be on the paper.
I so agree. I find when you share something that's just, it's not even fully hatched. It's in the process. It takes something away from it.
Exactly. And I mean, nothing against writers groups. I know some people have a great deal of joy and productivity from getting together with various people. But on the whole, I think it's a solitary profession. And the best work that I see comes from people who admit to not really playing well with others, to enjoying the solitude of the exercise.
And getting right into their craft. So you mentioned you have a new release. When's it coming out?
It's coming out on Tuesday, October 16th, and the books have arrived. Our author copies came on Friday, so I, rolled about in them and reveled. And
Smell them.
yeah, it's so wonderful.
What was the
And
title again?
it's called The Eye of the Beholder, and it's a Randy Craig mystery, and it's set in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and Edmonton, Alberta, and deals with fine arts and murder.
Oh, sounds good. And where can we find you and your books?
You can find me at all of the best bookstores there. That's putting pressure on them. Chapters carries my books, and so does Audrey's at in Edmonton. And you can go on to janicemcdonald.net, where there are links to all of the books. They're also all of the mysteries are ebook form, so you can pick them up that way and read them anywhere.
Perfect. So I hear you have a special cocktail.
I do. Yes, it's something I made up the last time we were in Mexico, and oh my God, if you ask a bartender in Mexico to make it for you, they look very dismissive and refuse to do it, but the waitresses will do it for you. So I'm thinking, there must be just, some macho thing that doesn't allow them to mix these things. But if you take one shot of mezcal, and the really nice smoky mezcal that kind of reminds you of scotch, and you put it in with a tall glass of pineapple juice and mix it up, the sweetness of the pineapple juice is cut by the smokiness of the mezcal, and it is a wonderful, wonderful drink.
Did you give it a name?
I haven't given it a name. It's probably that no-no cocktail.
It sounds delicious. And what are you reading right now?
At the moment, I'm actually reading a crazy novel by Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman called Good Omens. It's about to turn into a Netflix series, so I thought I'd read the book before I watched it.
Oh, sounds good. I like Neil Gaiman. And do you have a final word for us?
Well, I guess the remember, crime pays.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. I've learned a lot. I always do when I listen to you, and I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Now it's your turn. What do you think about today's topic? You can leave me comments on my website or email me directly. I'd love to hear from you. If you want to know more about me, check out my podcast website, bloodsweatandwords.com. You can also sign up for my weekly newsletter there, which contains writing tips and information about upcoming episodes. You also get a free book if you sign up. Now, if you really, really enjoy the show, please consider becoming one of my patrons through Patreon and help me pay my podcasting bills. You can pledge as little as $1 a month and make a big difference. And that's a wrap. I leave you with a quote from J.K. Rowling. The idea of just wandering off to a cafe with a notebook and writing and seeing where that takes me for a while is just bliss. I think we can all relate to that one. See you between the lines.